You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What is up, Goat Flippers? Welcome to this episode of Lamb Goat's Fan Flip Podcast, the number one hardcore and metal podcast on all of the internet. I am your host, Lurk, and let's get into the top five stories on lambgoat.com this past week. At number five, we have Of Sulfur announced debut EP, plus share a track featuring Tim Lambesis of As I Lay Dying. Of Sulfur is the new black and deathcore band by ex-Suffocate vocalist Ricky Hoover. And we actually just sat down with Ricky last week to record a podcast, so you can get all of his insight on having Tim Lambesis on a track and more about Of Sulfur when that episode comes out. In number four on the list, Code Orange in the studio with Billy Corgan. There's not much to this story other than the photo that has surfaced of Billy alongside Code Orange in front of a mixing table at a studio. Corgan also was quoted that he is excited to share that he has been working with Code Orange on some of their blistering new songs. So I guess we have that to look forward to, guys. And at number three, Gwar to headline tour with Napalm Death and I Hate God. Gwar will celebrate their 30th anniversary of their Scum Dogs of the Universe album with an extensive fall tour of North America. Support for the Scum Dogs 30th anniversary tour will come from I Hate God, in addition to Napalm Death and Madball on select dates. Visit lambgoat.com for a full itinerary of dates and cities. And at the number two spot, 18 Visions release Alice in Chains cover. James Hart and the boys in 18 Visions have issued a cover for the 1992 Alice in Chains song, Them Bones. You can head over to lambgoat.com to stream that cover right now. And with the top spot on news last week, Atreyu failed to make the Billboard 200 for the first time since their debut. Unfortunately, the impressive streak came to an end this month as Atreyu's new album, Baptized, not only missed out on the top 100, but failed to land on the top Billboard 200 entirely. The record only sold roughly 3,500 copies in its first week of release in the United States, which was clearly not enough to put them on the charts. Notably, Baptized is the first Atreyu album without co-founding vocalist Alex Varkatas. And now onto this week's releases, coming out on the week of June 25th, 2021. This week, we'll see releases from Amenra, Beartooth, Katheus, Cerebral Rot, Dark Throne, Exit Wounds, Hellish Form, Hyrus, Light the Torch, Mental Cavity, Minefield, Pestilence, Scale the Summit, The Absence, Urine, and Weathered. Speaking of new releases, we have teamed up with Bullet Tooth Records, which at one point was Trustkill Records. We have teamed up with them to give out a couple copies of Minefield's newest album, Seclusion of Sanity. We have a few copies to give away on vinyl and CD, so head over to lambgoat.com to see how you can win yours. And if you haven't checked out Minefield on the Van Flip podcast, maybe you should go back and do so. Well, now that being said, visit lambgoat.com for everything hardcore and metal related. Follow us on social media, give us a like on Facebook, and you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Lambgoat. Head over to Lambgoat's YouTube page and you can watch all of these interviews in video format plus other Lambgoat bonus content. Make sure you hit the subscribe button and the alert bell so you're always notified when new episodes or content is released. Whether this is your first time checking out the podcast or you're a returning listener, if you dig the kind of content we're creating on the Van Flip podcast, go ahead and give us a follow or subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. If you have the ability to leave us a quick rating or a review, we would greatly appreciate it if you took the time to do so. And lastly, if you could share this episode with your friend group, your timeline, your social media squad, whatever, it greatly helps us out. And this week we have on the podcast Travis Richter and Lil Lotus of the band If I Die First. You may know Travis from his other projects, mainly from First to Last, but he also was in the Human Abstract for a little bit. And you may know Lil Lotus from being a SoundCloud rapper or performer. However, If I Die First is the collaborative effort between them and a few other people, taking notes from the early emo core days and recently releasing a split with CU Space Cowboy. And you may also hear or see a Connie Scarbosa cameo in this episode.
Oh yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh yeah, this is stuff. Oh no. Oh no, no, no!
Lamb Goat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
Fuck.
Yep, there we go.
Oh no, Lotus, we just started. You did the countdown. You didn't hear him? Yeah. No, I didn't.
No.
Oh, well, we're already started.
We're in it now. Now we're in it. Yeah, welcome.
Don't be rude. Let him start it.
He already did, dude. You didn't hear him? All right, we'll quit our acting.
No, it's all good. No more countdowns. We are in the – I know you're a good actor, but we are in the mix in the Van Flip podcast. I am joined by Travis and Lil Lotus from the band If I Should Die. Nope, If I Die First. I don't know why. If I Should Die is a local band. That was a local band here.
Signing off.
That was a local band here.
I like that. I like that alternate, actually.
Yeah, you can – I don't know if you can use it. Like I said, I think it was a local band here.
Is like trademarking it immediately.
Well, going back to your acting comment, Travis, I did see you in a little. You had shorter hair at the time, but you were in a little commercial for the Mini Cooper there, doing some darkness vocals.
Yeah, I did this commercial a long time ago. I was in a Mini Cooper commercial. And I had to go to all these callbacks and castings, and I was driving a scooter back in the day. They were like, "Do you have a license to drive this car in the commercial?" And I said, "Absolutely." And
did you have
one?
Way
I had a license?
Yeah, okay.
I did not have a license. They're like, "Do you know how to drive a stick shift?" And I said, "Well, of course." And it was I did not know how to drive a stick shift. So I just bullshitted my way through that 100%.
Well, there's an old adage, and it rings true in every sense of the word, and every category it could be made apparent would be fake it till you make it. And you know, you did the damn thing.
That's what I did, you know. And they were like, "You're doing good," and I was like, "Really? Am I? Maybe it's the Adderall. I don't know." And then, and then I was like, "All right, well." If I can do good doing commercials and stuff, maybe I can go back to music.
There you go.
So I went and opened a music venue. Yeah. I abandoned acting. I said, no more acting. I'm going back into music. I grew my hair out. I opened 1720 in LA.
Yeah. That might be a good starting point. Let's cascade that into a starting point.
1720. I mean, you know, Lotus is an actor too.
Oh, are you? I did not know that you were an actor. I knew that he had his other projects and other, like, you know, hip hop and pop or R&B styled projects. So I knew that he was multifaceted, but I didn't know you were into acting.
I don't know if it's possible.
I'm very multifaceted.
Multifaceted?
He's multifaceted.
I am very multifaceted.
It's the condom video. Where's the condoms?
No condoms in this house.
All right, this is what I want. If there's an edit, if there's a way to edit this show and then edit in Lotus's acting, can we do that?
I can drop it in the video. What is the were you an actor?
Bro? We got you.
We're gonna send it to you after this.
You're gonna see some shit.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cool.
We're gonna send it to you. You're gonna edit it into this video. And then we're going to come out of it and it's going to be like, ha, that was great.
All right. Cut two and three, two, one. That was awesome. Okay. That was a great little clip.
Sick. Oh my God.
You got to see Lotus acting. And that, I mean, as you can see, he's top tier.
That's top notch. Yeah. Leonardo
has nothing on me.
I don't know how we have him here right now. He must be in so much demand with all that skill. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's got an agent now.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, so let's go.
As agent.
Let's go back to the music, not the music, the new music venue. You are still in From First to Last, right?
Yeah.
Even though everything's been on hold for like a while, but you're currently still doing that. You're doing this project, but we're more talking about this project, If I Die First, and the venue would be a good starting point, I think, right? That's like kind of almost the birthplace of...
Yeah, it is a sense of... It at least is the birthplace for where I come in with the band. We built the venue, and then we started throwing a lot of like Ham on Everything parties, which is a big, cool underground brand out here. And he just started throwing a lot of these like little underground shows with a bunch of local artists.
Regular
had to be like... It was like Ned... He would play all the time. I think Zubin came in for a couple spots. Lotus came in for a couple performances. So I just was able to kind of meet all the guys at the venue.
you know, a couple of years before we started jamming together. But as far as how the band came together, they've definitely known each other for a while. They've all worked with each other. They've all been like, you know, building plans out to make a band. And it's really cool. I really love my role in the band because I get to be like that next father, generation who's helping out.
Your father time.
Yeah. And so I saw them being like, we want to make a screamo band. And they sent me their first demo, and it had some kind of like programmed drums they were messing with and stuff. And I just heard it and I was like, yo, give me these stems. Let me do the thing to it. And I did this thing to it that made it sound like a literal band was playing, like it was a real band. And then we were like, yeah, this is it. This is what we want to do is make a band. And then I was like, yo, Ned, if you got to put me in the band.
Like, yeah. I want in.
Like, whoever you need to kick out, you got to go do it because we're going to go make this EP, you know? No, I'm just kidding. They're all homies. I just kind of – Lotus, do you remember how I got in the band?
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, it was, like, me and Ned had been talking about, like, doing, like, band-type songs, like, but still, like, produced by Ned Art type shit. And we had been, like, trying stuff. And then finally, I guess, like, him and, like, Zubin, like, worked together and Nolan on a song. And they sent it to me. And that night, I sent back my vocals and I left an open for Zubin. And that's how Needles became. That's how Needles became a song in, like, one night. I just like sent it back and forth.
Yeah, it must be like really easy with all you guys being like producers, because Travis, you've done some production work, and in my quick research of you guys, like half the band is producers, right?
Correct.
Incorrect. I cannot produce. Lotus
is going to be buttons. A producer when he's 50.
I'm going to throw the Kanye in the mix, and I'm going to be the fucking Kanye and executive produce things. I'll tell you where things go, but don't. Do not ask me to press a button because I will fucking press delete.
But I'm telling you, it's a new school thing for a producer to be pressing buttons.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Rick Rubin ain't pressing buttons.
No, yeah, he's like, he's DJ Khaled.
I know how it should sound. When I hear it in my head, I'm like, it needs to sound like this. And I'm like, doo da boop 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 boop. And then they're like, okay, like let me try and make that. I'm like, no, you did it wrong. But it's like there's no way I can't do it with my hands. My hands don't work.
I can feel that pain.
You're not trying to use the computer all day long.
Yeah, I can feel that pain. I mean, I also dabbled in music production as well, and it is a pain, especially when whatever's in your head does not computate out into the actual.
Yeah, I'm also program. Just. I feel like I'm too ADD to like deal with that shit. Like I'm just constantly just. Okay, this was cool for 5 minutes. What's next? Yeah. Or ADHD. I don't know which one it is that I.
But you're like, you're a really strong creative force in the band, though.
I am a creative fart.
Yeah, you write a lot, and it's like producing. That term has just come to mean so many different things now in the modern era. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Very much so. Sure. So when did you decide that Lotus that you wanted to kind of do band type songs, like, and when you decided that, were you always listening to music similar to like that screamo sound that you guys have? I mean, I know you linked up with Connor. Well,
that's the scene I came from.
Okay.
Like, I came from I don't know if you're like, you know who Third String Productions is, but like I used to like go and sell like pre-sales for my band to play at some like at this venue. It was the same venue every single the Door Dallas before they fucking killed the bitch. And then like we used to play there all the time with like all of our other friends, Sons of Herman Hall and Texas. I'm from Texas, so in like Deep Ellum is like all I ever fucking played. So I come from that world. And then, you know, really what everybody that is fucking idiot calls emo rap, which isn't emo rap. Emo rap is not emo kids rapping, it's rappers that are being emo. That's right. What emo rap is.
Right.
You know, people have it completely switched. So it's like none of us are emo rappers. We just fucking make songs that we would listen to based off the influences that we had from when we were growing up.
Right.
And that's all like fucking, it'll go all the way from fucking the Almost Starting Line all the way to fucking like Bring Me the Horizon. What was it called? Count Your Blessings. Mm-hmm. That album. you know, like it goes all, that's the whole spectrum, like that whole fucking crazy, like you got five stages that fucking Warped Tour. And like, that's where like our inspiration comes from, or not our, but my inspiration comes from, to where I'm just like, I want to do all my fucking favorite shit, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Were you ever
it was like a melting
pot? It was never like a transition. It was just like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Like it took another 10 years for this fucking dumbass generation to realize like, oh, what we were doing 10 years ago was cool. Like, yeah.
You have to read
a fucking book.
It's kind of like stressful having a band a little bit. And I feel all these DJs were killing it, making all this money. And so you saw this influx of solo artists come up. You know, and it's just like, hey, it's a lot easier for me to just deal with myself and have this. But there's an obvious influence with real band music, even in just straight up modern rap.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So but even like, those samples weren't even accessible the way they are now. So it's like you got kids that can sit in their room and make some fucking never shout never type like vibe on the song. That's like, oh, I did it all myself.
Yeah,
but we have all these samples now that you can like fucking like plug all these plugins that you can fucking go and do like pre-pro with and then whatever turn into a huge song.
That's what I think is cool about If I Die First is that it came out of from people who came from bands who've been not doing a band for a bit.
Yeah,
so they're like, "Yo, we want to make a band now because that's where we come from." You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But no one was really doing it. Everyone was just doing the solo artist thing.
It's kind of strange that we're all, because again, like we all came from, I'm about your age, Travis. I think you're a little older than me.
You're 108?
Yeah, I'm 107. Cool. I'm 107. Okay. So again, not as old, but I also came from like the hardcore metalcore background too. And then it got stagnant for me for a little while, like after being in it for so many years. I did go the DJ route too. So I did that rabbit hole and everything like that. And then a couple of years ago, I pulled back out and here we are again. So it's weird that, you know, most of the people in your band had the same experience because I don't know. And I don't know if necessarily like there was a lull in music in general for our scene, so to speak, but I feel
you
like.
You don't know?
I mean, I didn't pay attention to it in that time period.
Yeah, I think it was just like times, you know, like computers,
it was.
Money, like, you know, everyone was just kind of like not jumping on the trend, but it was just like really fun for everyone to be having doing more of a solo approach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still, I mean, that's still obviously a smarter move than starting a band.
Splitting money five ways or one way.
Split all our money 100 ways. Let's do this.
Yeah.
But
if anyone knows that,
that's a huge reason why this band is special. Is like you were saying, because everyone is just kind of like putting their powers together, and making this other sound. But yeah, man, I don't even know what I'm saying. I hit that pin too hard.
Gassed up. No, it's
I doing an interview right now? Oh my god.
No, man, no, we're on just a phone call.
All right.
But yeah, you mentioned like it is kind of like a super group. You guys do have a lot of like decently known people, you know, in the group. And Lotus, you said you were from Texas. What brought you over to California? Was it just to do music in general, or did you just like hitchhike out there?
I heard all the porn stars are out here.
That's true too.
The Vivid building off the 101.
Oh yeah.
No, but I came out here. The way I came out here was because like me and Smart Death were supposed to make like an EP together, and then Lil Aaron was like, "Oh, I want to be on it," and both of us just happened to be staying at Lil Aaron's, and I was a huge fan of him. He was a huge fan of me. And we were just like, at some point we have to meet up, but we're here at the same time. And then I visited every week for like another month, and I just fucking ended up with dating some porn star out here. And we moved in with her and fucking did the whole shit bang.
Is that a situation you're still in?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. You know, you have to live a little bit of a rock star life, right?
I've got tons of situations. It's just not. It's not one of them. That's great. Cool. Person, great girl. I'm happy for her.
And
it's probably been a number of years. When did you move out here, Lotus? What year was it? perf. I'm not there.
I don't really recognize the earth.
How many days?
What vibe?
I've been out here for 5,764 days.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Do the math quick, Travis.
No, I really don't know.
It was some year, a handful of years ago.
Ned would know. Ned's really good with the years.
Yeah, he's good with numbers. He remembers them.
Yeah.
He's one of those numbers guys.
He remembers fretboard numbers. Really?
Just remember, I count everything in grams.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Understandable. Yeah.
It has to weigh something.
Yeah, yeah. Everything
does
weigh
something. It's a zip o'clock. It's a kilo o'clock.
It's a pillow 30.
There it is. I'm learning a lot of new slang on this episode. So how did you guys link up with CU Space Cowboy and Connie and them from North Carolina? Not North Carolina, but North California.
Are they from North California?
I just happen to have the cream of the crop here.
I think they're from San Diego.
It's left.
That could
right?
be. Yeah, you're right. Right. I think she moved to San Francisco.
Here goes Connie.
What's the question?
I was asking Lotus how you guys managed to connect.
I think like
hornyism.
Yeah, one definitely the beginning. I think it was like as depressing as it is. I think it was like a Twitter DM being like, "Yo,
yeah, that was you and Ned."
No, that was me and you too. Because me and Ned was an Instagram DM. Me and you when we're on Twitter, and you're like, "I'm about to move back to LA," and I'm like, "Oh shit, let's kick it."
That was right when I broke up with my fiance.
And we met.
That's a horny DM.
We met on New Year's Eve. The first time.
Yeah, that's right.
And then from like then on, it's just been like a beautiful friendship.
It's like New Year's Eve of last year.
Did we do a three-way kiss on New Year's Eve?
I'm pretty sure, yeah, you, me, and Chloe had like a three-way kiss on New Year's Eve.
That's how it
was like instant like fucking connection. I don't know. I mean, that's how it's been with like every school, like in If at First. Just like homies before the band started and like even like more and more and more homies like as the band like gone on.
Right. And you guys,
emerging world.
Yeah, for real. And you guys shot a video and released a video together with your split that you guys put out, I think, like, what, a month ago or a little over a month ago?
Yes, sir.
Split's dropping tonight.
I don't know what that's.
Connie also measures in grams.
I don't know what that is in grams.
Yeah. 30 grams? I don't know. What, 30 days, 30 grams?
But yeah, we definitely did do that.
That was cool. I think the person who shot your video was actually from our little scene here in Jacksonville. So
Cameron. Yeah, the man is a fucking genius. Like we shot all of our music videos with them, and when I came to him, because like I did the whole visual creative director work for like the entire split. So when I came to him with like my idea, I'm like, this is what I'm doing for this release. He was just like, boom, got it. We're going to build the set, and we're going to fucking shoot it. And, like, the man is a fucking master of his craft.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of it.
And we got to beat the hell out of each other for it. It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great video. And he's done a lot of good work. I mean, he's worked with a lot of other groups, too. And he's, since moving out to L.A., he's been getting, getting at it. So, kudos to Cameron. So Travis, what you got a moon pie over there? I saw you sneak them out.
Oh, you were seeing me sneak a moon pie.
I can see all the cameras, but you might not be able to.
Whoever was talking. Oh, my bad.
No, nope.
I'll share my moon pies with y'all out there.
So you're in Georgia tonight?
Yeah, I'm in Georgia. I'm just over here drinking sweet tea and eating moon pies.
That's a hell of a time.
Yeah.
Is it a full moon right now? Or not right now, but today.
It is me and you all the time.
It's a blue moon.
I was gonna say it's a full moon pie for at least Travis. At least for right now, he hasn't taken a bite yet.
We gotta bring back mooning when we tour.
Yeah, I love mooning. I mooned my grandma. I mooned somebody recently.
Yeah, there's nothing more great than a just random ass on a wind, like a a mirror or whatever. What is that called? A window. Yeah.
You know what's crazy? Every time you moon someone, you never get a thank you card.
What's up with that? That's rude.
You should start that trend, you know? Well, you have to get someone to moon you first, I guess, but...
I showed you my ass, please.
At least say
please listen to my music.
Please stream me.
So you guys have something
that's
dropping.
A good marketing team.
So you guys have something dropping tonight. However, this episode won't release probably for like 3 or 4 weeks. So
wait,
what do we have dropping tonight? What's dropping tonight?
I don't know, but we can talk about it.
The whole dropping tonight.
The 14th. I don't know what day it is.
The 14th is tomorrow.
Today's the 14th?
Yeah. No, tomorrow.
Is it Friday?
It's technically the 14th, right?
Yeah, you're right. So this should tell you exactly
when it's AM, is it us?
Yes, wait, it's out.
Video's gone.
It's about to be out over video's there in, like in like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And that's my video off that whole time?
No, just for a quick second. But is this the full split?
Yes, comes out tonight.
Nice. So it'll have been out for at least a couple weeks by the time everyone hears this. So is it how many songs are on this?
I guess we could skip the line.
Well, I'll say it. The split is 5 songs.
Okay.
Okay.
It's 6.
No, it's not.
It's not 6.
It's 5. We both did 2.
Oh, the split. I'm talking about the EP. My bad.
Yeah, we did. We both did 2 original songs, and then we did the collab song. So that's 5 songs on the split.
Nice. So you guys have the entire, 20-piece band put together, because you guys all have a lot of people in each band, and then you did separate songs.
And did separate songs. And If I Die First, we tuned down to C. Because that's C Space Cowboys tuning.
Mm-hmm.
So we tuned down to C for our 2 songs. Normally we're just drop D, like standard, you know. Well, it's 2 different things, but you know.
Yeah.
It's standard in our line of, in our genres. It's standard not to be in standard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got it.
We get it.
Yeah. I dig drop C.
I hate drop C.
Yeah, Lotus isn't a fan.
Is it because of your vocals?
Well, I just have like a fucking eunuch vocal. So like, is it eunuch or Munich?
The eunuch is like someone with no private parts, right?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my vocal.
Okay.
So I think you did good on the 2 songs.
Yeah, but I also want to retract everything again.
Nah, it's too late. It's coming out tonight.
Oh, not those. I'm talking about. Oh, wait. Yeah, I'm done. Never mind. Ignore what I said.
We're gonna get to the second EP. I just feel it.
We're gonna get
that's
to
about
the
to become a conversation.
Question.
Yeah.
Well, wait. I think you want to go there, Travis. So let's just go there.
I don't actually want to because I like the mystery.
Mm. Well, you're a very mysterious band. You haven't even played. You guys haven't even played a show yet, and you're on the Lamb Goat podcast. I mean, come on.
That's tight.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for having us. By the way.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. I mean. You've been around doing some things for a couple of years, as long as I can remember, right? I mean, you did the first to last thing. You did Human Abstract. Yeah, Human Abstract.
Yeah. And then, you know, my business partner at the venue is the drummer in the Human Abstract.
Okay, cool. So you still have that kind of connection and relationship.
Yeah, the Human Abstract still talks like fairly frequently. I think we would love to put out new music, but that sound or that style is very like hard and laborsome to make,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everyone has like full lives now. But me and Brett, we work every day together on the venue. And then we have a third partner who is Alex, and he is the guitar player in a band called Necro Goblicon.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Actually, you should reach out for me.
I can make that connect. He's actually right now in Tallahassee finishing up their next record with Jason Sukoff.
Oh, cool. I'm actually not that far from there. I'm North Florida myself, Jacksonville right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're right in that neck of the woods. I'm in Albany, Georgia, so I'm only a couple hours away from you also.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, you said Sweet Tea. I didn't think you were out on the West Coast, so.
Yeah, no. But I will be having some Sweet Tea on the West Coast, no doubt.
Bring it. You got to bring it with you. So how do you guys
– Burger King.
How do you guys like have all these interests and all these different kind of sounds? Because you've been in bands, like every band's been completely different. You've done like grindcore all the way up to like, I think what every album on From First to Last, right? You were in like on every production that they did.
Yeah, I was on every production. It just the last record we did before we started doing the new songs with Sonny
mm-hmm.
and stuff. Or actually, no, we put out Dead Trees on Sumerian. But the record Thrown to the Wolves, I like left the band before that record came out, but I did all the pre-production and I worked on it. So it's like, I feel, I'm like, yeah, I worked on every FFTL album, you know, but yeah, that was the only one that I kind of, we were like, the band was like dying, dude. And like, no one really fucked with us anymore. And it was just like, it felt like it was just like internally consuming itself, you know?
Yeah.
I left the band and then they, it officially ended for a long time for like, like a couple months after mm-hmm. I left. And that made me happy. I was like, yeah, that's right. You mother scratchers, you better respect the amount of glue I brought to this band.
Right. Some David Lee Roth stuff, right?
Just, yeah, exactly, right? I forgot what we were talking about. How does it all come together?
Genres are all over, man. Your band genres are all over.
I think what's cool about If I Die First, as far as our sound and how we all are, like, I have a bunch of different sounds, is that we all agree that it needs to be screamo.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I feel like
the idea best of it being in this world, you know? From First to Last was very experimental. Like, you know, there's people who are like only like in love with Dear Diary. And a lot of our peers thought that we should have just kept making Dear Diary over and over.
That was a big record though too. I mean, that was a huge record.
It was huge. And I really wish we would have, in a sense, no regrets. Because, you know, I look up to bands, you know, like punk bands and, you know, like bands that have always sounded the same. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I love MXPX.
Yeah.
I love watching their live streams. And it's like MXPX was MXPX and they always made MXPX songs and they sounded like MXPX. And that was that. You know what I'm saying? And for me personally, I get to a little bit of that with If I Die First, because when we all come together, we kind of share this sense of like where we want the sound to go.
Right. And is that because you guys, you have so many other projects that you guys can actually like, not in a negative way, but pigeonhole yourself to that particular genre?
Maybe a little bit of a limitation. I think also, Ned has a lot to do too with the sound, of course, because he's writing a lot of the songs. I think that out of all the songs we've written, there's only been one that we didn't finish. Am I right?
No, we came back and finished it, and it became like our favorite.
The 3-4 song?
The 3-4 song, isn't that I'll Never Let Them Hurt You?
No, that's the one that we ended up...
there's one that I hated.
Passed it over to the homie.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's only one song. There was like a few songs where I was like, I fucking hate this song. I don't want to do it. Like, I can't do it. Like, I can't write on this. And then 3 months later, or two months, maybe a month or two later, everybody's like, hey, listen to this song. And I was like, yo, this is sick. And I just immediately wrote it.
Yeah.
And everybody like, y'all were like, do you remember when you're fucking bitching about how you hated this song?
No.
No, I never did that.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah, you did. It's not that song.
Short-term memory is good.
And it became
my
favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I love that thing you and Ned have with like passing songs back and forth and getting just right. And like,
me and Ned are like musically twins.
Yeah, I that's what I'm saying. Like, there is a little bit, even though you don't feel it from my perception, just the fact that, you know, Ned has these chords that he loves and he loves the kind of music he loves. It's real specific.
Yeah.
What he loves. That really like it funnels into the band having this like sound, you know.
Yeah, it's always good.
This is just coming from me. You know what I'm saying? As like a 40-year-old,
the older dude in the band.
Yeah, I've been in a bunch of stuff. I think it's a cool thing that we have.
Speaking of being the older dude in the band, Lotus, when you were growing up and like, you know, being influenced by, you know, music and stuff, I'm assuming From First to Last had to be in rotation when Dear Diary probably was, you know, in rotation in the early 2000s for you, right?
Never heard of them.
Yeah. I think most people haven't, so I don't think you're alone with.
No, I definitely was a huge. You want to hear a funny story?
Of course.
I had this like little girlfriend that was like, "Do you know this band?" I was like, "Yeah, I love this band. This band's fire." She's like, "Yeah, like I'm really good friends with their vocalist." And I was talking to Travis about it, and like, fucking Sonny was like young. Sonny's my age, right? He's like, what? Oh, we're air him out right now. he's about my age, right?
I mean, he was definitely young then.
He's in the 30s.
We was like 14 or something like that when he joined the band, right?
Oh, this is true. So he was probably when he was about like 16, and like I had this like I would always dated like older girls in our school, and then like she was like I'm friends with this guy like he's in this band. And I was like I know that band, like I love that band, but she would never invite me to shows. Like she would never invite me to like come hang out with her to the show, and I was like, well, I'm not gonna go because like whatever. And then I was gonna hit it. So then, like, she would come back to school and have, like, these, like, digital photos on her little digital, like, MySpace camera.
Right, right.
Back and it was, like, her and Sonny. And I was like, yo, do you ever know this chick? And he's like, Sonny was with, like, all kinds of girls. I have no idea. Like, Travis was like, Sonny was all, with all kinds of girls. I don't know who the fuck that is. Like, but I definitely had Emily on repeat. That was, like, probably my favorite little Tool Boy song that I would be like, to every girl in high school, like, this is our song.
I mean, look how much you helped out, Travis. You were getting Lotus laid at such a young age.
Travis made me come so many times.
You're welcome.
So how was it for you being like a, you know, again, like a fan when you were younger to like, now you're in a band with him?
The funny thing, and not to like downgrade it, is that we already the way we even met in general was just because we were playing shows like at his venue, mm-hmm. you know, and that's how we all, he was like, oh, I see these guys like tons of times, like their music's cool, whatever. But we never, like him and Ned had more of a connection. Me and him never really like talked the way that we do now, because the way that me and Travis are now is like big brother, little brother type situation. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, it was like really crazy for a second, but then I was like, this guy's a doofus like me. I was like, yeah, we can fucking have fun, and now we just are just idiots together.
Yeah, it's that
we
thing.
We vibe on this like brother level.
Yeah, yeah.
Moron level. Like, it's kind of how you could, you know, it's like been, Neanderthal level. Everyone's on the same page. Yeah. It's not like no one's smarter than the other one.
Lotus, you shouldn't jump off that second story balcony and try and do a backflip, but like, don't you think that would be a really funny video? Like, that's our relationship.
Flash 2, being loaded into an ambulance probably because you got talked like, into doing it.
The ambulance is driving away. You're like, we'll remember this years from now.
It's not funny now, but it will be funny.
Yeah.
What song did I mix a year ago?
Oh, you did mix. It was me and Zubin.
Was that a Ned beat?
Oh, no, you did. Bullet.
Our acoustic song of yours.
It was Bullet. It was one of the Bullet songs. From me and Ned's EP. Bullet. And that was before I even met Travis. I met him at the venue like a few times, but it was very touch and go.
We was like, little go.
Travis was very touched and very little go.
Yeah.
But it was, and then that's how I met him. And then
just like bugging Ned, like, hey, Ned, you got to let me hang out with that Travis guy. I really liked his band back in the day.
Me and Ned,
we just started recording together, and it was went on.
Yeah. Me and Ned and Zubin were already working a bit together. I'd be like mixing their vocals or mastering a track or something. Me and Lotus, we didn't really start messing with each other until I'd like joined the band, you know?
Yeah, that's really it.
But yeah, we had seen each other a bit before then, you know, and I'd worked with him on tracks and stuff in the background, kind of in the shadows.
Yeah.
I weaved all this together, you know what I'm saying?
This was his master plan.
And he's like, I got all these SoundCloud guys. I need to get them together and kind of do something with it.
Yeah, my business partner is just like, there's these crowds. They don't want to drink. They just want to smoke weed, you know, or like, you know, do, you know, whatever. And it's like, no, I have a plan. I need these guys. I need to do these shows. Right. You know, I'm cooking something together.
I'm setting a trap. I'm setting a trap.
So who programmed the drum? Hey, Lotus, who programmed those like drums on the first song you sent me when it was like
that was Dove.
Oh, it was Dove's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just curious. I thought it was maybe Ned.
Were you going to shit on them?
No.
Shit on the quality of it? Is that what you're going to do?
No. I was just curious. Like, it was just more of a program sound, and I did a real drum. I programmed all the drums on the first EP.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, I programmed the drums on everything we do because we like to do the vocals first, and then we'll go back and record the drums and do the guitars once we get the vocals locked into the demo. So I'll go ahead and just program everything, and then Derek will jump in and kind of like change stuff around and make it his own kind of craziness. I love programming drums. I love pretending I'm a fake drummer.
As long as you put the right amount of swing into the programming, it's fine, you know, because you don't want those robotic sounding
drums. Yeah, I have
fun
with it. I really do. I feel like, you know, I just sit there and I think I'm like some kind of death metal drummer.
Yeah.
You know, making it happen for the screamo.
So do you guys record vocals first and like build a song around that? Or is it like, do you come with an idea or is there a song?
We have this. I've got our system nailed down. So what happens is Ned comes up with this guitar part and we're like, yeah, it sounds cool. Or he'll be showing us something. And I'm like, okay, like, yeah, you need to finish that out. And like build off of it. Send it to Travis. He sends it to Travis. Travis does the whole like programming so that I have an idea vocally of where we're going with the song. Then the song completely changes once it doesn't change, but like the whole energy changes when Travis adds the programming for drums. Then I go and I write the lyrics. Me and Zubin go back and forth and we're writing lyrics. We write the whole thing. We first focus on melodies and then we make the words fit and we do all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Then we send it back. Him and Travis, or Travis and Derek, get the whole drum thing. And then Derek just goes stupid on drums. And then it just changes the whole fucking shit. And then the lyrics are already set in stone. And we're done with the song.
Yeah, Derek.
So it's like a whole wish-washing. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which makes the drums like crazier because it's like when you have a drummer that's following vocals, like that's like way harder than following.
It's almost like a lead guitar at that point.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it just takes the cake. And so that's our little like formula. That's how we do it. And then sometimes there's a little exceptions to the rule where like there's a song on the new EP where Zubin just like wrote it on acoustic. And we're like, fuck you. Like this has to go on the If I Die First EP. And he's like, he wrote it for it. We were just like, this is so fucking good. Like, fuck you. So then we went and did it and turned it into a crazy song. And we're just like obsessed with it. And so it's like there's a lot of cool things to look forward to on the new EP. Shout out Zubin. But yeah, sometimes, and I think that was one of the songs that I was like, yo, this song sucks. Like, I can't do it. Like, I'm not going to be able to write anything. And Zubin takes it home. He's like, oh, I got it. And he does it. And I'm like, oh, shit. And then I'm able to write shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you like made the perfect hook for it. So now I hear the song completely different. Like, let's write.
Yeah, it's always a bonus when you have like the ability to have that in on your team or your camp or whatever, to have someone who's also either as creative or more creative than you.
I mean, when you have six divas on one team, that's a bonus. When you have one, you got a lot to look out for. You need at least six divas on your team.
Yeah. Well, it's like Bridezilla. It's like, well, I guess we'll see how you guys are at shows. Cause again, you haven't played shows, but you guys are announced for Furnace Fest.
Well, are you coming to fucking Furnace Fest?
I'll be there.
Are you really?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm for sure
we'll be there.
That's cool. Yeah. So it would all be
a sin if you didn't.
No,
you
want
to split an Airbnb?
We should get him fucked up.
It wouldn't be the first time I have been fucked up. And it's not going to be the last either. So, but
I think Furnace Fest would be crazy.
Oh, it definitely will be.
I want to see this dude chug a pint and then fucking throw a pint across the bar.
Yo, every day I get these notifications on my phone, and it's like Ned just like sending thousands of dollars through PayPal. And I don't know why I see it.
I know why.
It's like, yo, but what? I don't have his email up. He's using that first email, isn't he?
First right, it's gotta be. So yeah, speaking of Furnace Fest, that's the
cut that out. Actually, cut that part out.
So
you can edit, right?
I can. Yeah.
Just bleep it.
Yeah, I'll bleep it.
Yeah. Bleep out any sensitive info, like my social security.
But number. Also, there should be a part where like. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to say it. And then you just bleep every single word I say. So people are like, what did Lotus say?
It was too bad. We couldn't even allow it to be off on Lamb Goat's podcast. It was that
bad. Yeah, that's bad. Yeah.
So Furnace Fest, let's go back to that really quick. Is that the first show that you guys will be playing? You're scheduled to play at least?
It's the first
as of now. It's the first announced as of now. Like that's all we.
Okay, so everything has. Yeah, it's announced. But have you been telling the young cats like about Furnace Fest? Because I know that it's been quite some time since they've thrown a Furnace Fest, and it was even. I think it even stopped before I was even able to actually start going to like out of town shows.
Right.
I think the surprising thing is that like since this whole like. Fuck this word, but emo rap shit has like fucking started. A lot of kids are just like, oh, I want to hear what that sample comes from. And they're like, oh, I like that music. This and that. So even if like people don't know what like Furnace Fest is, like they're seeing the lineup. And I think there's a lot of fucking like hype people about it. You know,
it's going to be mix of old heads and new heads.
This is going to be the Furnace Fest. This is going to be the Furnace Fest where it's like so many people that are like, I was just trying to see my fucking one of my favorite bands because so and so sampled it, mm-hmm. this song, and I listened to the whole fucking shit and like you know like it's gonna be a good fucking blend, which also means a lot of people are gonna get hurt, but
especially after them being pent up for so long.
Yeah, especially after that, it's like oh you can't punch the government. You can't punch the government. So. Right. Closest thing to me.
So what bands are you in, like what bands are you really looking forward to? I'll go with Lotus first, so I want to see what the younger generation is looking forward to seeing.
Well, let me pull up my handy dandy lineup. So I'm really like stoked about Thursday.
Okay.
Thursday's gonna be stupid. Under Oath, of course. Emery. From Autumn to Ashes, Gideon. This said Haste the Day of. No, this is Haste the Day. There's this one stupid band named Steve's Faith Cowboy. And then there is Terror Thursday. Then Day Two, Amberlin is one of my favorite fucking bands.
Mm hmm.
Better Off, they're hell sick. The Blood, Cartel. Oh,
I'm looking forward to sick. The Blood too. That's one that I'm really looking forward to.
Evergreen Terrace.
That's tight, Evergreen Terrace.
Further Seems Forever. Mayday Parade, I'm a fucking simp sometimes. Misery Signals, Mineral, Poison the Well, SKSK, Shai Hulud. I'm really excited for Shai Hulud. Yeah, Touche.
You seemed well schooled in the old school bands, Lotus. I have to give you credit for that. So
they don't pay me for nothing, baby.
I got you, Travis. Which ones are you looking forward to? Because you know you're a little older, and I know you probably played with some of these bands anyway. So
yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing a bunch of bands I've known for a while. You know, we used to play tons of shows with like He Is Legend.
Oh, I love that fucking band.
Yeah, dude. Like they were like. We toured with them almost more than any band. Every Time I Die, that's another band.
Fucking love that band, so too. Much with.
And then, you know, From Autumn to Ashes, that was the very first tour, like real tour FFTL ever went on, was From Autumn to Ashes, Cave-In.
Oh, wow.
And Every Time I Die. And it was Cave-In a long time ago, which was nice.
We're talking like early 2000s for you, right?
Yeah. Had their original bass player, who is the singer Old Man Gloom,
mm-hmm,
Caleb, I think his name. and he passed, you know.
Right.
That was a really sick memory I have of like our first tour. But yeah, just, you know, there's a lot of those under oath. It'll be cool to see those dudes. A lot of those people we just came up with in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Evergreen Terrace. I used to record at the same little studio in Valdosta, Georgia.
Oh, I know. What was the name of that? It's like a bird.
Earth Sound Recordings. Lee Dice runs that place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about that is Spencer and Under Oath was.
I have to pee real quick. I'm going to have Connie take over while I'm gone.
Boom.
Tight.
Tag in, tag out.
Spencer and Under Oath, he was in a band called This Runs Through.
Yep.
And they recorded a long time ago in Valdosta, Georgia, because he was just like known for being the like place hardcore bands could go.
Yeah, no, I definitely remember that. I definitely remember that studio and all of that, especially because of Evergreen Terrace, and they're a local band here. So,
yeah, for sure. Wait, oh yeah, you're in Jacksonville, of course. Yeah.
Actually, Jason hit me up today on Instagram, and he was like, "Hey, man, I was going through, and I thought I saw you at a neighborhood shop here, and I poked my head in and yelled, "Hey, what's up, man?" And the guy turned around, and I was like, "Never mind, I don't know who you are." So. I was like, that's fucking hilarious, dude.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That's funny. Jacksonville, did you ever go to like shows at Murray Hill Theater?
Yeah, I would have probably saw you guys, though, at the Imperial. I probably have saw you guys there, especially if you played with Evergreen or He Is Legend or anything like that. So
Yeah. I was just thinking of like real old shows, like crazy old, like a long time ago.
Yeah, no, I actually don't live far from any of those venues, Murray Hill and all those. I mean,
is it still there, Murray Hill?
Yeah, the theater. Yeah. I mean, Connie actually, she was one of the artists that we actually had come over to my house and do the podcast pre-pandemic.
Oh, that's yeah, good. We did. Yeah. I sat in your living room and drank a Red's Wicked and we talked for like 40 minutes.
It was longer than that, but yeah, have you realized it's like one of the most popular podcasts we did on our YouTube channel?
No, I did not know that. That's very interesting.
Yeah, no, it's definitely it's the most viewed one. Yeah, so kudos to that, Connie.
That's kind of crazy. I didn't know that many people would be interested in me.
Oh, a lot. Yeah, I think it's the most commented, most is everything. Even more so than you reacting to the comments about your band.
Yeah, bring back anonymous comments.
I'm
stand by it.
There's going to be some sort of new commenting system that might allow anonymous comments on the next redesign, which should be launching soon. So.
I back that. Yeah, so. Lamb Goat needs anonymous comments.
Yeah, we need them back. They're the funniest fucking things I've ever seen sometimes.
It's crazy.
Hilarious.
Some bands love it. Other bands absolutely hate it and then like cancel Lamb Goat. You know what I mean? They don't want... anything to do with Lamb Goat.
Okay, I'm going to give it back to Lotus, though.
All right, thanks, Connie.
Back to Lotus now.
Back to Lotus.
But yeah, Travis, what's your
favorite? It's off in your guts.
What's your favorite Lamb Goat moment since you've been there? You've been going for so long.
Where?
It's a Lamb Goat.
Yeah.
What's my favorite Lamb Goat moment?
Oh, they said I was gone for so long.
No. You were fine.
My favorite Lamb Goat moment of all time? I don't know. That's a really hard one. Probably any time they would ever post about From First to Last back in the day and just how people would just rip all over us. I'm not one of those bands that care. I actually like hater comments, you know?
They're always funny and interesting sometimes. You know what I mean? If you don't take it personally.
I think they're hilarious. I love them. I prefer bad comments over good ones.
People that talk about you the most are the ones that hate you. That's why it's
I like the perception of someone who's just gonna go talk open shit.
Yeah. That's why we have ex-girlfriends.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I respect you, even though you're bashing me in front of the whole world. You know what? Good on you. I don't know.
Ex-girlfriends are just publicists.
Yeah. Yeah, that's real.
Jeez. Got a lot of those, huh? A lot of publicists.
I got some good ex-girlfriends.
That's too real. That's too real.
Rest of my exes, y'all are great people.
That's a dude. We were just doing the thank yous on the album, for the Lotus album, and I was like, the first thank you, like, shout out all my exes. I'll see you soon. Like,
yeah,
that as like,
don't ever burn a bridge.
Shout out to exes. No, burn that bridge.
No, don't ever burn a bridge. You know,
no, burn it. Burn it, because she's building it next time.
That's true.
Hey, yeah, that's real.
So you guys, you guys are associated slightly with Ghostmane, and Ghostmane has been known to take out, you know, bands within like the scene, like Trash Talk and a couple other acts that, you know, he's gone out on the road with. Would that be something that you guys would like to be a part of, you know, like one of those major arena type tours?
I could see it. That'd be
no,
cool.
I don't. We're never playing a fucking arena. Fuck that shit. That's stupid.
When I hate money. When I signed my contract in Nipot at first, it was only arenas.
Yeah.
No wonder you haven't played shows yet.
We're only touring if it's with Ghostmane. So.
Well,
yeah, Furnace Fest, Ghostmane. No, I'm kidding.
Ghostmane's a homie. I can see it happening. There's no plans. No. I can honestly say that.
Yeah. But, we're not. But yeah, there's, no, there's no.
Hmm. Uh oh.
Out for a song or two from the first EP, little stuff like that'd be cool.
There's even songs where like me and Zubin are like, I'm playing bass and I want.
Are you gonna do that?
Yeah, we're doing that on tour. I thought it was
which song? Mm-hmm. Oh, I like this,
dude. Just kind of
maybe
like,
we should. Maybe that should be my test to be like, do you know this song? Do you know this fucking song? And we'd be like, okay, give me the bass.
That's like a whole skit we do. It's a skit.
Just interchange
his
instruments.
Unless he has one of his Fraser vocals where he starts slap bassing. I can't do that.
Zubin's probably the funniest person in the band.
Zubin, yeah, I wish Zubin was in here. He's the funniest human I've ever met.
I think that you need to do another one of these shows specifically for like a Zubin-Ned combo.
No, it's a crazy man. Just crazy man.
Well, you know, I mean, like, I didn't want to have, as you can tell, because you guys are also in different locations, it's hard to talk without talking over somebody or trying to talk without talking over somebody. So there's only...
I like it.
So we learned that very early on, and oddly enough, we learned it doing Evergreen Terrace's podcast. They were like the second band that we did, but I had all five of them on. And it was just complete chaos. So we couldn't even use it because everyone was talking to each other within the actual podcast. So it was very, very confusing.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
Was it watchable at all?
Yeah, for me. You know what I mean? It was funny to me.
You should put it out.
You know, we should, but I don't think, I don't know if the band wants it to be one of those.
I bet there's gems in there.
Oh, dude. This was around the time when the Tim Lambesis thing was going on. And,
amazing.
Yeah, so there – and, yeah, there's a lot of hot takes.
That's tight. I like that. Oh, my God. That's amazing. Yeah, that whole story was crazy.
I just had JD.
This little smacked off the lead.
Do you know about that story?
No. What story? You're like, that's crazy. So I was like, this little smacked off the lead.
Oh, I'm just faded. I'm not gonna lie.
You tell him the story so I can stay out of it.
Okay, Tim Lambesis put a hit out on his ex-wife.
Okay, what she did?
Yeah, well, I mean that's hilarious, but he actually did.
Yeah, no, he went to
jail.
But did
she do something?
No, just had his kid or something. I don't know. Like, just was alive.
I think she was like, you know, maybe like a little.
If you have a kid involved, like, come on, like. I have a son. If anything happened to my baby mama, that reflects on me. So I have to, you know, pick up the slack. And it's also just like, your son like lost his mom. Like, that's fucked.
Maybe we should have you reach out to Tim, and maybe, you know, maybe you guys can be on some kind of like guidance.
Mentorship. I heard while he was in jail. And I don't want to talk about him too much. It's just like, you know, he has to know his life's a hot topic.
100%.
He
got married?
No, they didn't give him his medication, his steroid medication or something. And he grew boobs?
I did hear something about that.
Does he have an ass too?
No, only the boobs.
What do you? Not anymore. Yeah. Not anymore. He's out. He's been they've toured. They've Azalea Dying has done their thing since he's gotten out. And
you guys talking about the Azalea Dying dude?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I read this like one fake ass article where somebody like said that he like dug his way out of prison or some shit.
That's how he got his muscles back.
Yeah, probably one arm, huh?
Nah, he definitely didn't dig his way out. He definitely, I think, did his time and got.
I'm like way more flexed on like one arm than the other. Even though I'm a stick, it's well, like
why? Way is more flexed I think on we arm. I think we know why.
It's crazy he did his time already.
Shout out OnlyFans.
Yeah, it went by quick. Invested. It went by quick.
Yeah, it did. You know, for putting a hit on someone,
we should get it as a dime.
You know, it's.
Yeah, is that something y'all want to do? Yeah, it seems like it was less than 5 years, to be honest with you. I don't know. Right. I don't have the information in front of me, so I don't want to speak on it.
I don't even, you know, I don't know. That woman could be the worst ever. I don't really know the stories on it. From what I've seen in the metal community, everyone pretty much just says this about Azalea Dying. Leave Tim alone. He did his time.
Yep. It is what it is.
He did his time.
You can choose to like it or not, and then that you can like the music or enjoy it or whatever.
I love his music. I love it. I love it.
Azalea Dying rips.
I mean, yeah, Azalea Dying's fucking sick.
Yeah, they definitely
no
were.
No more Nick, though, huh?
No. I guess some of the members couldn't hang. You know, they didn't want to be a part of it, I guess.
Yeah.
Hard times. Shout out PC Culture.
I was going to say, I think I was going to make a joke about you guys getting canceled earlier, but you guys don't seem to care about it anyway, so.
Maybe they've tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you,
what else?
How do you deal with it? I mean, because you seem to be like an easy target to the internet, Lotus, and you'll probably be a very easy target for the Lamb Goat audience.
I stand in the way is what happens. And I go, you don't.
Well, you know what?
You know what?
Is that I actually am a very sweet, nice fucking dude. And I make sure that all my friends are taken care of at the end of the day. Whether we're partying, whether anything like that, I make sure that all my fucking friends are fucking taken care of. Everybody, like, jokingly, I was saying, like, shout out to all my exes and all this bullshit. You know, it's like, you boil it all down, like, we're fucking entertainers. We're having fun. We're fucking being funny. We're being goofy. We're whatever. Don't take it so fucking seriously. Like, the people that are closest to me know that I would fucking give the shit off my fucking back or fucking jump in front of a fucking bullet for them. And that goes with, like, the people in my past because we have history. But it's just like, you know, just have fun with the fucking art. Enjoy the art. As long as you're actually not a fucking piece of shit, like, you're fine. Like, joke. But if you're a piece of shit, you can't joke because it doesn't fucking translate. Right. Everybody knows you're a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's also
I don't really
very...
take two things, like, super serious, and I just stay me and be as on point as I can about that and take care of everybody because I know they would do the same for me. And at some point or another, I'm going to be fucking calling them on the side of the fucking road, like, oh, my fucking moped got fucking hit by an 18-wheeler. Help me. Like, some
yeah,
stupid
it's like you
shit.
Understand, like, yeah. What you put out.
Just
there,
be a good person. Be a good person. Fucking act a fool.
I think a lot of people.
You don't live a fool and fucking be a bad person. You be a good person and you act,
a fool. That's right.
Have fun. Exactly. Yeah, and that's right. All. That's all that we really are. We're just a bunch of fucking idiots having fucking fun, writing the music that we want to listen to. We're not thinking about like who we're going to tour with, who we need to this and that. We don't need a co-sign. We don't need none of this. We make our money elsewhere. Like fucking this fool runs a fucking company, like a fucking business that makes fucking more money in a night than. Yeah, more money a night than I would have fucking, you know, wished to get for a guarantee, you know?
Yeah.
So
hopefully we'll be back open.
Well, actually, yeah. Let me,
We are. It's coming back.
But it's just like stuff like that. Ned gets paid on his own shit. Zubin gets paid on his own shit. Derek does his own fucking shit. Like, it's like we don't need this. We're just doing it. It's a passion project. It's fun. We love it. It's like our whole heart and soul poured into this shit and what we wish that the bands that we grew up listening to were making today. And it kind of seems like they're all coming back around because it's like that whole 10-year cycle and they're making, you know, like sick ass shit again. It's like, yeah, it's, I guess like maybe I should just tour my idol.
I mean, that would be a good start, wouldn't it?
Like, yeah. Boo-hoo.
I think a lot of it is a lot of people on the internet don't understand that artists or entertainers or people within the scene also do have to put out a certain kind of persona, because if you're kind of boring or lack, you know, enthusiasm in anything, no one's really going to mess with you or follow you and really care about your career.
Yeah.
So it's those who are more extravagant and more wild and get more eyeballs. And it's like the guy Franz from Attila. You know, a lot of people think that that's him as an actual person, and it's like,
or like Ronnie.
Yeah, Ronnie. Yeah.
I was texting Ronnie today, like me, like, and I was just like, dude, like, I felt like you're Ronnie's like one of my blueprints. Like, I love Ronnie. Like, we're not perfect. Fucking shit happens, but he's not a bad fucking person. So don't call him that. You know, it's like, I love that fool. Like, and then like fucking, what was it? Ollie had some shit, or like all these other different like people, like artists, like had shit. And it's like, you want a fucking rock star, we're acting like rock stars, but don't get sensitive about it. We're not doing anything actually wrong. You know, like, we're just doing us. We're just having fun. We're making the music and you love it. Like, let's do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That might be a good spot to end it, guys. Right?
We can end it there.
Okay. Where do you want to end it? We've been going like an hour.
What else can we talk about?
I don't know. I didn't. You had someone flashing the lights at you. I didn't know if you were getting called up to go to dinner or something. I don't know. It's 11 o'clock for you and I. I know it's a little.
Oh, no. It's I'm almost 40 years old, but when I come to Georgia to see my family, I still live it. I go home with my family, you know, my mom and dad.
Right.
And they're like, I mean, they're getting old, you know.
I didn't know if you had someone, you know, like, hey, we got to go watch a movie now. Come to movie night.
He said something. I couldn't. He's like, we're going. Yeah.
I kind of have to go. Right, I kind of have to go because I'm posted up at the management office, and then I have some shit to do. So if we do end it there, I'm down. Can you send me a MP3 of this before it gets posted or sent in? Like,
yeah, I'll send it to the link. I mean, yeah, we're gonna be it'll be a little bit before it comes out. So I'll just
Every time I say out.
What was that?
Can you edit every time I say
the?
I'm trying, dude. I can try to set the algorithm to do so, but I don't necessarily know. I don't even have an algorithm.
I'm just having fun with you guys.
No, it's been a great time.
I'm good.
It's been a great time.
Yeah, send it to me. Only thing I feel like I touched on anything personal was like towards the end. So like that's it. That's all I really want to hear. And then I'll like shoot an okay. We get if you want to like send the your phone number and we could start a group chat for it.
Sure. All right, we'll do.
Yeah.
Cool. And I will see you in Birmingham, guys.
We'll see you there.
I'll see you
there. You'll see us before then.
Oh well, I hope so.
You may see us before then.
Okay. Well, it's been great. Lotus, have a good time. Travis,
you nice too, being on. Thank you so much.
I can't wait to see you guys.
Good to meet you, dude.
Later, man.
Later.
Hey, what's up? This is Blake Weiland. I'm the host of the Tone Mob Podcast. It's a show where I interview guitar people about guitar stuff. We talk about their pedals, their amps, their accessories, their preferences, all that stuff, as well as a healthy dose of whatever comes up. Topics have ranged from aliens to addiction and anywhere in between. Oh yeah, and pizza. We're definitely going to be talking about pizza. So get the show wherever you're listening to this podcast at. Just search The Tone Mob in your search bar and it will pop right up. Come join us. We're having a lot of fun. Thanks for checking it out.